I'm not sure when that was written, but it's probably the 1800s, but kind of describes today, huh? All right. We just don't know who he is. Amen? The title of my sermon is An Ocean of Love, but there's law and gospel. I've been praying, and I'm thinking, why am I always getting these texts? And the only thing I can figure is the Lord wants me to give you the hard lessons, okay? So it's a hard lesson today. But this is the Word of God. Amen? We look at verse 21. Once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Where I go, you cannot come. These are extremely frightening words, and they carry a dismal finality. Martin Luther writes, thus we too preach today, but all to no avail. The world turns a deaf ear. It will not believe, but insist on finding out by experience. Yet for the sake of the elect and of those who give ear and want to be saved, we must preach and proclaim. Christ wants to say, I am going away to my Father. I have been here and have proclaimed my word and offered to everyone what the Father commanded me to offer, namely, eternal life, remission of sins, and redemption from death and eternal damnation. It's not a bad deal, right? I was a preacher in your midst and told you this. If you refuse it, good and well. Then you remain what you are. I am departing. If you remain as you are, then I too shall remain as I am. And Spurgeon puts it this way. If you have no faith in Christ as the Son of God, you shall die in your sins. What an awful thing it will be to die in your sins. What a robe of fire in which to lie down for your long sleep, and to find no sleep because of it. You shall die in your sins. I would like this short, stern sentence to ring in the ears of every unbeliever. This is not my word, but Christ's own word, the word of the most loving and tender Savior. If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. So these are the words of Christ, and He's going to repeat them more than once in this lesson. Does the world understand this? Not at all, right? At least at the time of Jesus, the people got angry about it, right? So much so that they wanted to crucify Him. Now, they think it's a joke. They laugh and think heaven and hell are a joke. Like this, okay? I demand to see a lawyer. You certainly come to the right place, okay? Go to the next one. But hell is no joke. Hell is no joke. And I don't think we even realize that sometimes, right? We're all going to spend eternity some... Earl, it is so good to see you, okay? You look beautiful, okay? All right? We're all going to spend eternity somewhere, and we should want everybody not to go there, right? Recently, I was at the gym, and I think I shared part of the story with you. A young couple, they were probably in their 40s or 50s. Of course, that's young to me, all right? But they came up to me and they said, my dad's in hospice and he's really worried because he doesn't know what's going to happen. And they went on to say, nobody knows what happens when you die. And I said, actually, yes, there's one person who does because he died and rose again. And what he said is there's a heaven and a hell. And he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But you have to believe in him. It's that simple, okay? They were shocked. They were stunned, okay? And I think the world is, okay? And when you tell them that the only way is Jesus, then they get angry, okay? But that's the truth, you know? It's the truth. And I told them that they should tell them the gospel. And then I found out they weren't believers, okay? So I said, get a Christian to talk to them, okay? And then I gave them my number, and I'm still waiting for the call, okay? Verse 22, this made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So just like the song we sang, the people are blind to the one who stands before them. And so are we. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They were blinded to the great I Am who stood before them. Mind you, Jesus is right there, and they can't see, even with the miracles He's working. And I think we see that in this world, don't we? There's so many people, and I'm going to talk about it later, but once again, Luther says, thereupon the Lord Christ replies, I am who I am. That's the name for Yahweh, right? He replies, I am who I am. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. You may run to and fro in quest of God, but there is no life except with Me. Does the world want to hear that? No. It follows that if you do not remain with Me, you are dead. These are words too sublime for even the angel Gabriel to say, I am He. But he must declare, I am sent to you by God. Also, I stand in the presence of God whom I serve. The Lord Christ, on the other hand, says, of me, you must say not only that I am sent, but that I am He. I am God. What does it mean that I am He? It signifies that I will be He and must be He, that I am truly He, and that all depends on Me. Your law, Moses, your worship, your Sabbath, etc., are nothing in comparison. No, I am He, and all hinges on Me. I'm not only an apostle, a prophet, a messenger, and an ambassador, but I am He, and all things exist through Me. These exalted words called for faith. Jesus is declaring Himself to be God right here. Okay? He's declaring Himself to be God. And they just didn't get it. Except for the fact that they were looking to crucify Him. Okay? Go to the next one. What Jesus is crying for, He wants them to believe. It's a cry for faith. Okay? And some did believe and others didn't. Verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins. He's saying it again, right? If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. So if you don't believe I'm God, if you don't trust in Me and have a relationship with Me, you're going to die in your sins. He's warning His hearers and us that unless we believe in Him, have an intimate trust in Him, we will die in our sins. And what happens when we die in our sins? Hell, right. I'm glad you had the courage to say it. Okay. But it's darkness. First of all, you're going to have darkness in this life. And many of us have lived in that darkness, right? But it's going to be darkness for eternity. Okay? It's going to be hell. Pastor McKinley used to do roofing. And the roofing company would send him all over to different states. And he was doing a place in Kansas. And the owner of the roofing company was cheap. So he would put him in these dives, okay? And he said it's the kind of hotels you would see on CSI, you know, where they'd have the tape across and stuff. So him and his friend Eric were sharing a room, and it was really dark in there because it's a cheap hotel. And he had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, but Eric was closer to the light switch. So he said, Eric, no answer. So he said, Eric! Says it louder. Still no answer. He says it a couple more times, getting louder each time. Finally, he just gets up and he said, Fortunately, I didn't trip over anything, but I was able to manage to get to the bathroom and I came back. So the next morning, he's talking to Eric and he says, Eric, why didn't you answer? I wanted you to turn on the light. Why didn't you answer? And he said, man, yeah, but I thought someone was in the room killing you, and I was too scared to move. And the pastor said, well, geez, thanks. Okay. But that's when you're in the darkness. Have you ever woken up and been in the darkness? It's really difficult, right? And it's easy to trip. I remember once I flew over head over heels over a coffee table. But when it's dark, you don't know where you're going. And that's what we're having with people now, okay? Many people are walking around in the dark, and unfortunately that darkness is going to be for eternity until they encounter the light of Jesus Christ, right? Now the world believes that we know it all, right? Science. We know it all, right? Is our experience and knowledge greater than God's experience and knowledge? Is our knowledge greater than God's Word? No. Okay. Martin Luther says, "Let him who refuses to recognize Christ go his way. One day Christ will say, 'You too believe that the world and the worldly spirits are greater than my Word.' But I say no. It is arrogant of him to say, 'I go away and you will seek me and not find me and you will die in your sin.' These are plain words, but they are relevant for the past, the present, and the future world. These words are all-inclusive. You will seek me and not find me. You will die in your sin. Ever since the beginning of the world, this has knocked down many fine and great people. These words treat them with disdain. Such people are regarded as small sparks beside a great fire, as a tiny drop of water compared with the ocean, or as a grain of dust next to the sun or a mighty mountain. But the world reverses this order and thinks, 'Who are you, Christ? You are but a little spark or a particle of dust.'" So the question for us today, do we see Christ as a drop in the bucket of our lives? Is he just a drop in the bucket? That's what our culture believes. Jesus is just an add-on for weak people, right? That's what the world says. But for us, is Jesus our life spring of living water? Is he our ocean of love? In reality, we are a drop in the ocean of Jesus. Amen? How can we not respond to the ocean of love that is in Jesus Christ? And I want to expand on that a little bit because the idea of the ocean of love came to me. How many people have either been on a fishing boat or maybe just on a beach and seen the ocean, or if you've been blessed and gone on a cruise, you ever been out in the ocean? Doesn't it just blow you away how big it is? It doesn't matter how big a boat or ship you're on. It's like, we're nothing, okay, compared to this, you know. I can't swim that far, okay? And you don't even know how deep it is, right? That's how the love of Christ is, okay? That's how vast the love of Christ is. And once you experience that, that ocean of love of Jesus Christ, you just want to go deeper. You want to go deeper and deeper because it's that good, right? You want to go deeper and deeper into that relationship, into that love, because it is unfailing. Amen? And this is what the world is missing, okay? There you go. The infinite ocean of Christ's love, right? Verse 25, "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." So the Jewish authorities are looking for legal grounds for a charge of blasphemy. They wanted to kill Jesus. They're not looking for information, but for condemnation. And that's... go ahead to the next picture. There they are. Isn't that a great picture of them? I was talking about this picture with Daryl at the beginning, and he said it looks like our former council. Okay. At my old church. Okay. And they did crucify, okay? But anyway, I digress, okay? But they're fault finders, right? And don't people look for faults in us and our faith and in the church? Don't they look for faults in it? And sometimes they even prepare arguments in advance, right? They'll say, "I'm going to stumble Judy, okay, on her myth of Christianity, all right? Or you can just look at Facebook. They post stuff deliberately to put us down, okay, and get a reaction, all right?
I don't do Facebook,
but this is what they're like, okay? This hasn't changed. In 2,000 years, this hasn't changed. The people of God are going to be persecuted, okay? Because they like the darkness better, okay? Verse 27, they did not understand that He was telling them about His Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. So Jesus is pointing to His crucifixion. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus' crucifixion is called His exaltation. That's when He's lifted up, okay? That's His point of glory, being crucified. Completely reverse of the world, right? We'd say, He's crucified, what a loser, right? That's His exaltation. That's when He's glorified. Because that's when He defeated sin, death, and the devil. But after His crucifixion, many people did believe in Him, right? At Pentecost, Peter preached a sermon, and 3,000 people were baptized, all right? So when He's lifted up, and there's another great picture here. Next one, please. When He's lifted up, okay, He brings light and life to us, okay? Once again, Martin Luther. In brief, Christ wants to say, you will not find out who I am unless you actually acknowledge me as your preacher, which I am. I have the command and the office to preach to you. I told you, if you will not hear me, you will die in your sin. But if you believe in me, you have eternal life. Hold to these words and regard whatever I tell you as the truth. If you accept my words and believe what I have to say to you, then you will discover who I am, namely your preacher. Then the Holy Spirit will come through my words and teach you. How many minutes a day in the Word?
15
to start, right? To start, okay? Otherwise, you will mock me and say, gracious Jesus, have mercy on us. We will surely find God without you. But you will fail in your attempt. That is, I am who I am. Once again, Yahweh. And you will die in your sin if you do not believe in me. I have told you enough for you to know who I am. Since you persist in asking who I inform you that I am your preacher. If you do not want to hear me, then don't. You have the choice between hearing me and belonging to the devil. You didn't hear that in seminary, Pastor, right? You did? Okay. But we have a choice, and the Baptists are right. We have to make a decision for Christ, okay? This choice is for all of us, okay? We either accept Him as God, or we go to the devil. And God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on us. He's leaving it up to us, okay?
It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Do we want life and light? Or do we want darkness? I told you, the Lord gives me these texts, okay? But through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works to create faith and trust in us. That's why we want you in the Word so much, okay? But without Jesus, we are left in the dark with the devil. But we all have a choice to make. Will we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or will we choose to die in our sins? I came across this story. It's really a neat story. Bob Sillier writes, there was a university professor at a well-known institution of higher learning, and he challenged his students with the question, did God create everything that exists? And one student says, yes, He did. God created everything, the professor asked. Yes, sir, He certainly did. The professor answered, if God created everything, then God created evil. And since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then we can assume God is evil. The student became silent and did not answer the professor's hypothetical definition. And the professor was pretty pleased with himself, okay? He boasted that the Christian faith was just a myth. Another student raised his hand and said, may I ask you a question, professor? Of course. The student stood up and asked, "Professor, does cold exist?" "What kind of question is this? Of course it exists. Have you never been cold?" The young man replied, "In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold in reality is the absence of heat. Cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel if we have no heat." The student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" He responded, "Of course it does." The student replied, "Once again, you are wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist. Darkness in reality is the absence of light. Light we can study, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into the world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the amount of light present in it. Isn't that correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light." Finally, the young man said, "Sir, does evil exist?" The professor responded, "Of course, as I have already said, we see it every day. It is in the daily examples of man's inhumanity to man. It is in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil." The student replied, "Evil does not exist, sir. Or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." And the student was Albert Einstein. Okay. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like that cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light. Isn't that what we're experiencing today? We're in the minority, right? We're in the minority.
Even scientists.
Yeah. So another way of putting what Albert Einstein says is, you will die in your sins. Many of us here have experienced the cold and darkness of living without Jesus and living in sin. Then He calls us out of that. He washes us and gives us light and life. And we never want to go back. If we haven't experienced the light, life, and warmth of Jesus' love, we will have an opportunity today. I love this picture. Isn't that great? That's me. Okay. Verse 29. "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him." Spurgeon talks about Jesus and how obedient He was to the Father. He says, "The Son of God was willing to come to earth to do His Father's will, and His birth at Bethlehem was one of the points in which He pleased the Father. So also He was doing the things which pleased the Father during His obscure life as the carpenter's son. We know but little of it, and it is vain by pencil or tongue to attempt to paint what Scripture has left beneath the veil of silence. But we know this much of it, that He was about His Father's business, and that He grew in favor with God and man. He was the Holy Child Jesus, and therefore must have done the things which pleased God. From the first day in which He spoke to John at the Jordan, to the day in which He was taken up into His glory, He did always the things that pleased God. His death was His own voluntary act, was the most pleasing of all. If degrees there could be where all was perfect. On the cross He was tried as gold in the furnace, but no dross was found in Him. On the accursed tree the stress of the world's sin lay on Him, and yet He did not wish to depart from that enterprise which He had undertaken till He had been obedient to the Father and accomplished all His will, even to the endurance of death itself. He always did the things which pleased God." Today Jesus calls us to obedience to Him and His Word. He is our example and perfect model. We will strive to follow Him. Not Pastor Rick, not Pastor Perry, not Pastor Rock. We strive to follow Him. He is our example. Verse 30, even as He spoke, many believed in Him. That's kind of amazing. Even with the opposition of the Jewish leaders, many Jews believe in Jesus. They accept Him and trust Him intimately. I believe our opposition to living in and with Christ is even greater. Our entire culture is anti-Christ. Will we believe Jesus today? When we do, we become children of God and have a blessed assurance of our salvation. 1 John 5, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So don't be surprised, okay? Through the Holy Spirit, we are assured we are children of God and that God, Jesus, is always with us. There was a man and his little girl who went to the funeral of his wife, and they were devastated because she died at a young age. And they went home, and the house was empty. So the father moved the little girl's bed into his room because she was so torn up from the death of her mother. And they're laying there, and hears her voice from her bed, and she says, "Daddy, it's dark. I can't see you, but you're there, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, dear. Daddy's right here next to you. Go to sleep." After a while, the little girl fell asleep. Then the father said in tears, "Oh, Heavenly Father, it's so dark, and my heart is overflowing with sorrow. But you are there, aren't you?" And a scripture came to his mind, and the Lord spoke to him, and it's out of Isaiah. He said, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Being a Christian means living in the presence of Jesus at all times. Jesus is always with us and will never forsake us. Today we have a choice, just like the Pharisees and the Jewish people did. We can live with Jesus and immerse ourselves in His ocean of love, or we can die in our sins. I believe the choice is obvious. Amen? Go to the next picture. Do we want light in life? Do I hear an amen? Okay. Raise your hands. Yes. We want light in life, right? Well, we're going to pray for that right now. And then Pastor Perry will continue with the rest of the prayers, okay? Lord Jesus, we love You and we love Your Word. And we love Your truth, Lord. You're not afraid to speak harshly to us and warn us. It's because You love us and You want no one to perish. You want no one to go to hell, Lord. And we thank You for that. We thank You for Your love. And Lord, this day, we ask that You remove any doubts or fears that we have. Take them away and draw us deeper into the ocean of Your love. We want to experience more and more of Your love and light, Lord. We do believe that You are the great I Am, that You became flesh and died on a cross for our sins and rose from the dead so that we could live eternally with You, Lord. We believe this, Lord. Send Your Holy Spirit into our hearts and affirm this and change us, Lord. We want to be like Jesus and we want to live in obedience to You and Your Word. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.